and welcome to the Real Estate Matters podcast. I'm Stuart Norton with the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the University of Alabama, and joined as always by my co-host, James Benedetto. Say hey, James.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm getting excited for football season. How about you?
Listen, it just needs to come now at this point.
Right.
Like, it just needs to be here. I'm so tired of just like waiting.
Yeah. The last few days are always the most difficult.
It's always the worst.
It is. Well, we have an awesome show for y'all today. Got a very special guest, the one and only Charlie Norton. Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic.
Well, that's great to hear. And so Charlie Norton with Harbert Realty Services out of Birmingham. And so Charlie, I know it's been a few months, but tell us about your new title with Harbert.
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking. I can't believe it. Yeah, it's coming on 11 years. It's flown by. Really learned a lot over here. Got great people. But yeah, so I'm our vice president of our transaction services group. And it's really more of a, it's really more of a title change than anything. I'm just trying to, as the years go by, just trying to elevate the services that we offer to our clients and utilize our platform. And but it's great. You know, been here almost 11 years. We got great people around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't quite seem like 11 years. Seems like almost yesterday when I remember when you took that role with Harbert, and I was thrilled, you know, just very proud of you because that's quite the name in real estate. And just tell us a little bit about Harbert, because I know y'all take a little bit of a different approach to real estate. You know, some folks, you know, focus on retail or office, but tell us a little bit about Harbert and and the way y'all approach a commercial brokerage.
Yeah, you know, Harbert's a special place. We got, and it all, you know, it all comes down to your people, right, and your brand. And we've got we've got awesome people. We got a great brand. Our parent company is Harbert Management Corporation, which is a, you know, global investment fund headquartered here in Birmingham. We have Harbert Realty Services. That Harbert Management's our parent company. We're a full service commercial real estate firm. You know, we do everything from leasing to management. We do some developments. We've got a Harbert retail platform here, which is led by Casey Howard and Lacey Scott. We just do a fantastic job. We've got Harvest, which is our third party apartment management platform that we own a good bit of our portfolio and also do third party management. So, you know, we offer a little bit of everything. We've got offices in Orlando. We've got a developer down in Jacksonville. You know, we focus on the South. We got a pretty good reach, but we feel at the end of the day that we're a top-notch firm. We can compete with any of the big shops. We believe in our team and, you know, we take our time navigating real estate.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And so, with today's show, kind of wanted to have a little bit of a marketing focus, because for those of y'all on LinkedIn, you know, you've probably seen, Charlie, we'll just call him the king of LinkedIn, at least in Birmingham CRE.
The marketing mogul.
Right, right. A lot of great content. Follow Charlie on LinkedIn or connect on LinkedIn if you can. And, but tell us about this video series that I believe you spearheaded with Harbert.
Oh my goodness, I think I just turned on some music on my phone.
Oh, okay. What you got rocking there?
I don't know what just, Green Day just came on, my Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, Lordy. Might want to hit pause.
I tried. What an intro.
Yeah.
What a start to the
Yeah.
Day. What a start.
Can y'all hear that?
No, I can't hear any music.
All right, well, it won't stop.
Turn the volume down then.
I've done everything.
I mean, you're under 40. You're supposed to be able to figure this stuff out.
I've got a couple different. Is that better?
Yeah.
I've got a couple different ear pods, and the ones I put in today, I was rearranging them, and it started a song that I had that I was listening to in the shower. But
oh, Lordy, listening to music in the shower. All right.
You know, you got to start your day the right way, and I have to amp myself up if I want to come in and trying to continue to forge a path in this market. It's tough out there, and but
that,
ask me
it is
you
a,
just
yeah.
asked me the question you just asked me again.
We're going to have a marketing focus for part of the show today, and I just wanted to just tell us about the video series that you I believe you spearheaded with Harvard.
You got it, man. What a great question. You know, at the end of the day, we're a large marketing firm. I mean, we're marketing ourselves, we're marketing our people, we're marketing our services, we're marketing our product, and it's a very unique market, and the best way to get exposure for your brand is you've got to be on different platforms. You got to be on LinkedIn, and videos to me have always been a way to really cast a wide net. You know, we grew up throwing cast nets, Stuart, and I just always think about how do you throw a net around the market? How do you let people know about what you bring to the table and why they should engage you? And so what we did was it took a while, but I had an idea stirring, and we came up with and rolled out a series called Driven, which really highlights our people and showcases our product and how we bring value. And it's hard to explain that in an email. It's somewhat easy to explain that over the phone, but a video really hits it and gets to the core of why we create value. It's showcasing our people and our projects. So rolled out Driven.
How did you decide on that name?
You know, it's a great name. I don't know. I'm always,
it's perfect. I just wanted to know the backstory.
You know, we're now about to roll out 4 and then we're going to Orlando for 5. And so I'm trying to think about it, but it just fit perfect.
It did.
I try and say that I'm driven. I think that the people at our company are driven, and we're trying to really find creative ways to show the market why they should engage Harbert, what it means when you engage Harbert. And I think driven is the right word. You know, we got a group of people that are very driven on a daily basis, and so are our clients. And so we rolled out episode number 1 that I did at Helen with Chef Rob McDaniel. I've become very close with Rob and his family, and Helen was just the perfect fit, and it was a great story. And we had an awesome contractor with Pryor and H2 Real Estate, Carter Hughes, they were the landlord, and it was just a great fit. And then we pivoted to Norman Tynes and Mike Moran at the Historic Federal Reserve. I mean, just a project that will go down as probably one of the biggest. I mean, it's a huge impact on Birmingham, first of its kind on a historic renovation like that. And then we went to number 3.
One thing about the Federal Reserve, I just got to say, that's the best. I mean, there's lots of adaptive reuse in downtown Birmingham, but to me, that takes the cake in terms of just, you know, what they did with it. It's so creative, preserved, you know, the historic nature of the building while shifting it to a different use. But that's just a really cool project.
It is. It took so much courage. It took a leap of faith. And they were pioneers, you know, and they were the first of its kind really in Birmingham to do something to that level, to that nice.
Right.
And it went off amazing. I think it's about 70,000 feet. You know, you've got
fully leased
urban cookhouse downstairs. You've got multiple levels of office tenants. You've got workout facility. It's called the studio. It's awesome. The basement. I mean, it's got parking, but it took a lot of courage, and you know what? That's what real estate's about. You got to have pride and you got to have faith in your product, and they absolutely dominated. And it's just a great story. And
it is. I was actually talking to Mike Moran. It was a couple of years back, but I did an article on it. But I remember when we were emailing, he mentioned that the backup plan for that site was a surface parking lot to demolish. Yeah, and we're talking about a building. I think it was built in the 20s, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. Classic building, you know, I mean, the type of thing you don't want to see turn into demolished for a surface parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it would have been a shame. And it was just, it's amazing that they had a plan. They executed their plan, and it shows today. And it's just a beautiful building. And when you walk into it, you can just feel the electricity of how amazing it is. And so we showcased that, and It's a great episode. Y'all should look. Y'all should check it out. And then we did number three. We wanted to showcase Red Mountain Theater. It was a project that Keith Rouse, he runs our construction management team, and we showcased Red Mountain Theater and you know, we did just that whole process of building that, working with the contractors, working with Red Mountain Theater, and just it's a state of the art facility. I mean, it's amazing. Another impact deal for our city. And so now we really want to showcase Harbert Retail. You know, Casey Howard and Lacey Scott and our team just do an awesome job. And this one, we're going to focus on a project that Casey's worked on, Heights Village. That'll be number four. It's there in Cava Heights below the summit. Our client's Raymond Gottlieb that owns the center. And we're going to be filming that here very soon. And so be on the lookout for that in the next, I don't know, 90 days or so. And then for five, we're going down to Orlando to an office that's, we got a producer down there that's got Harbert running through his veins. His name's Damian Maston. He's just he's an awesome guy, and I can't wait to showcase Orlando as well. So basically it's just, we're a big marketing firm at the end of the day. We want to find unique ways to showcase what we do to the world, and why not take the projects that we have delivered on and executed on, showcase our team, showcase our people, showcase our clients. And we're going to, you know, we hope to continue this series. It's been very fun.
Charlie, just to jump in real quick here, you know, with what you're talking about being, you know, Harbert being a marketing firm, talk to me a little bit about just what it's like kind of marketing to real estate. I know it's difficult to market to really anybody, but it feels like even real estate, you know, there's so much going on. You really have to catch, you know, people that are working in the industry with that, you know, with something right off the bat. What were some of the challenges that you had kind of getting this off the ground, and or did you really not have too many challenges just because you've been invested in the industry for so long?
You know, great question. And we can get into it, but there's different levels of marketing where your audience is. You know, when you're marketing, I got started on LinkedIn by thinking, you know, videos are the best way for me to cast the widest net to a big audience. Mm-hmm. And so we started we'll do videos of different listings that we have, you know, different opportunities. And then we started thinking about how can we market ourselves out there? And so, you know, you just got to find creative ways. But the challenges that we had with this, really, there wasn't that many challenges. Our team, our CEO bought into it very quickly. And, you know, when you really buy into something and you believe in something, you know, we executed on it, and we picked projects that were natural. You know, Helen, Historic Federal Reserve, Red Mountain Theater, Heights Village, what we're going to showcase in Orlando. We have a Rolodex of these, and we picked clients, and we picked projects that were natural, and we picked a team. You know, Knight Edie has just knocked it out of the park with us. So, I mean, they're actually very natural. I know I've used that word a lot, but it was more of internally, how do we do this the right way? And we're cooking with grease at this point.
That's right. Get the grease hot, right?
Yeah. So I don't know, James, if I answered your question, but were you talking more about the process to roll this out, or are you talking about just marketing in general and how to market to your audience?
Well, either. And like I said, I just, you know, I kind of, like I said, I have a communications background, but, you know, getting into real estate, it feels like a bit more of a different beast for what you're trying to do. And like I said, I feel like there's just so much going on, you know, just in general, but especially in the real estate industry, there's so much that can grab your attention.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of people, you know, like I said, we're trying to figure it out on our side too, just what, you know, good marketing strategies we could use. I know that there are other companies that are a little bit further behind in the marketing pushes. So I'm just interested to see how y'all just kind of got in front of this curve, because y'all really do a great job over there.
I think it was Charlie.
Yeah,
no, yeah, it really was.
It's got to be, oh, come on, man. No, it was a team. I mean,
yeah.
Kim Washington, our creative manager at Harbert, she has a degree from Auburn, guys, and that's okay, you know.
Yeah, the world needs Auburn fans too.
Auburn's great, but so
I agree entirely.
But so they're big clients. They're great people. But let me tell you this. So we've got a creative manager that is amazing. All right. We've got Knight Edie that's helped us try and execute on this. We got the vision. Their job is to execute on the vision. You know, we got support from all levels here at Harvard, and we got team members that are eager to engage, you know? And so, but it's more about, I'm always trying to find what creative ways to give our product more exposure mm-hmm. so that we can basically elevate what we do and have our, and help our clients get more exposure. And we do, you know, emails and phone calls. We do all that. It's all great. We have great content we put out, but something about a video done the right way, quality over quantity, right? High production, great team. There's something about it that's special. And I think it just, it doesn't go stale. So our job is to create a bookcase that we put all these episodes on. We pull them off the bookcase and we use them to go get other business, and they never go stale. And so it's, hopefully I answered that, but it's just trying to get creative to market yourself and your team.
Yeah. And more on marketing, but just say, like, what would the traditional approach be to marketing a commercial property? Say you got something for lease, you know, so what's the traditional approach, you know, to marketing a commercial property?
Well, you know, you got something for lease and sale is totally different. You know, you got amenities involved, you're looking to lease something. You got to look at where the product is itself. But to market something to lease, we normally put together a marketing package. And then we have a process to take it to the market the right way. And there's some buildup there. But we want to be able to get a marketing package.
What all does that include?
You know, a real marketing package has got your product. It's got some pricing. Sometimes you want to call for pricing. Sometimes you want to put a number on it.
Right.
It just depends on what level of real estate you're marketing. But you have a marketing package that wants to show off your asset. You know, you want to market it to someone like, let's say someone in, you know, you're probably going to have mainly local people, but someone out of state that doesn't know anything about the product or the location, you want them to be able to open up your marketing package and look at it and feel like they know what they're, you know, feel like they're there looking at it, you know, because you then got to get them to the, you got to get them to the property in person to sell it. But to go back to the process, you know, you get a listing agreement, you understand your product, you put a marketing package together. You know, we have e-blasts that go out to all of the market in town. But, you know, we got great brokers, we got great peers all around us in Birmingham, and we take it to the market and we hit the phones. We put it on all our platforms and we go really look for the right people and the right tenants. You know, taking a building to the market is different. And I love, there's something about that process that's fun, and it's really marketing at its finest. You know, how can you showcase your product to the most people, right? Give them everything they need and increase your chances of getting them to that asset in person to look at. And there's different ways, you know, COVID changed so many things. You know, you want someone to be able to do something virtually, have a virtual tour. Some, you know, there's other technology out there that you can use that seems like you're, you know, Matterport seems like you're there in person. And there's so many different levels, but at the end of the day, how can you get creative to show your product in a unique way, to create buildup, to create your audience, and then go execute on that?
Speaking of buildup, you did a LinkedIn video. You probably shot it on your iPhone. This is about 4 years ago, probably. But it was a new listing of yours. And I remember you had a basketball. And didn't y'all, like, if you made a basket, you shot a basketball kind of like Dude Perfect style. Like, but if you made the basket, you won like $600 or something and whatnot.
Yeah, we had a broker event, which are great. You know, we used to have much more before COVID, and then they're starting to come back, but they're great. I had a broker event. We had a great turnout. It's a building in downtown Birmingham, 3 stories. We got a, you know, great ownership out of Miami, and trying to figure out, what can I do? I'm going to get all these people in this building. Like, what can we do? And what's a video? That video got about 10,000 hits, by the way.
That's awesome.
The most I ever gotten. It was either 8, 9, or 10. It was awesome. But, you know, I figured out, how can we, you know, normally we just send emails and make phone calls for broker events. I was like, let's create a video. Let's create some buildup. Let's get some energy here. I mean, this is a really cool project. And so we shot that video, and I remember making tons of phone calls, and I was really appreciative of the brokerage community that showed up. But yeah, got up on the third floor, got a basketball goal on the ground floor, and actually used dodgeballs, basketballs would have bounced too high and been too dangerous. But we were shooting from the third floor through the atrium in a basketball goal, and that was pretty fun to do.
Did anybody make it?
I think one person, I can't remember. I think maybe one person made it.
I just remember there was a cash giveaway involved.
There was a cash giveaway. It was great.
Yeah. I wonder who ended up with the cash.
I can't remember. You know, that's a great thought, and I don't know.
They probably played high school basketball. That's my guess.
I don't know, but it was fun. And
yeah.
But I love this topic, marketing. It doesn't get talked about as much, you know, but we're all trying to sell our brand on a daily basis and trying to find, when you use your platform and you market the right way and put the right horsepower around it, you can really get great results.
Yeah, so Charlie, I have one last question just about marketing, and I think I'm just kind of looking at this just from current events going on. Obviously, you're in the commercial space, and you know, just, you know, not a lot of great news going on with commercial, just with obviously with COVID, a lot of things changed, and you know, a lot of the way we use offices is kind of different. Do you see this as an opportunity? Like, is this for you, like your opportunity zone to try to really push the boundaries of what your marketing is, or do you guys feel a little bit more pressure because vacancy rates are going up and you're trying the best you can to sell what you can?
You know, that's a great question. I think there's always opportunities with the way that you market your product. But you're right. I mean, it is, you know, it's vulnerable out there right now. You know, the Fed's crushing our jobs when they've been successful in doing that. And I looked at rates this time last year, July 5.5% was prime, September 6.25%, today 8.5%.
Lord,
you know, what are we going to keep doing? But at the end of the day, it could create opportunities. It's more about Birmingham in general, really. You know, and it's more about, they always say the best time to rebuild something is during somewhat of a downturn. A lot of people start their businesses in that. You know, it kind of works opposite of what you would think.
Like H2 Real Estate, Carter and Scott Hughes got their start around 2008 or 9.
Yeah, great guys.
You know, tough market.
They do great stuff. They're really focused in downtown. They're really working on bringing an energy here, and they've been very successful in doing it. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there probably has not been a better, this is a great opportunity, James, to build on your brand. You bring up a good point. And, you know, real estate will go on, buildings will sell, properties will come up for lease. You know, people need help navigating, and there's never been a more important time since I've been in the business, you know, coming on 11 years than right now.
Yeah. So what's the chatter amongst the brokers regarding rates? I think you mentioned about 8.5, or, you know, do brokers think that rates will hold steady, might tick up even more, or do y'all even talk about it?
It's always good to get the team together and collaborate. We met yesterday, had a great meeting, long meeting. And, I mean, they crushed the jobs, which is what they're trying to do. I mean, they put a governor on, the governor's working. So when are we now gonna hold steady or at least starting to drop? I mean, if I had to bet on it, I bet we'd probably have one or two more hikes. But
yeah,
I had lunch with some bankers this week. I mean, breakfast, great guys, and I think some of these banks are gonna start getting off the sidelines, and that's great to hear. I think, you know, and so.
Because the banks have been pretty tight recently, right? Like lending standards,
yeah,
a little bit more reluctance to make a loan.
You just got to get, yeah, they are. You just got to get creative, and you got to have a rock solid deal to get financing. And it's got to be someone that's done business with them before. I mean, but it's just another reason why your real estate deal has to be that more rock solid. But, you know, I think the banks will be a little more open now, and it's just a matter of, I mean, you can go look and you can go find the worst news ever. You can find some good news. You can find it in between. And it's just more about believing in what you offer and sticking with it. You know, there's going to be obstacles.
And James is a former journalist, and journalism's all about clicks and reads, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And you know, and I read the, you know, we all read the paper for information, but I also kind of take it with a grain of salt because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, they're just trying to get their stories read and, you know, because we've been talking about the recession for what feels like a year now, you know, and it's according to all the GDP data, it's not really here.
Yeah, and then the soft landing's now back on the table. When, right. About, what, 2 months ago, right. It was going to be like a major market crash just because we were having to, you know, hike.
And just the nature of journalism, you have to paint with a broad brush. And so you can easily find this one thing that's not doing very well and then try to apply it to other areas. But
and something I keep coming across, and like I said, I didn't mean to ask that question to be the bearer of bad news, but it feels to me, especially with what's going on in the market, I, Charlie, I feel like you're kind of seeing this too, is that, you know, there's just such opportunity for commercial properties, like just for, you know, just a little bit of a refresh on what's going on. Like, you know, now you're seeing more commercial properties with amenities. And I know for you guys and what you're trying to market, that's stuff you want to start showcasing. So I feel like for y'all, this has got to be an exciting time a bit.
Yeah, no, it is. And there's, there's plenty of opportunity out there. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, it is, volume is down. I mean, there's a lot happening, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. There are opportunities. We're fortunate to be in more of a secondary market here in Birmingham. I always say that we're wrapped in bubble tape. And so, you know, it's just riding out the wave. But yeah, there are opportunities out there. There are going to be opportunities to go purchase assets. There's going to be opportunities to just capture things.
Sure. Just at the end of the day, I mean, banks' assets, I mean, their assets are loans. Mm-hmm. And at some point, they're going to have to start putting those dollars back out there. Yeah. Because obviously, and one thing I found very interesting, because I'm learning more and more about commercial real estate, did CCIM 101 back in June. And that was very eye-opening to me because I really didn't know much at all. I mean, I knew a little bit just from talking to Dad and Charlie about commercial real estate, but it really did open my eyes to the importance of just capital, because even people that have all the money in the world, because of tax reasons, because of leverage, they're still going to borrow money, even if they don't really have to. So, but anyway, kind of got us off on a tangent there. But
let's get back to
marketing.
Love that.
And I want to talk design a little bit later too. Mm-hmm. But Charlie, give us some additional thoughts on marketing.
Yeah, no, I like coming in here cold, you know, and you mentioning the word marketing, I mean, it got me fired up because
that's why we do not do the pre-interview here on Real Estate Matters. We like to have a genuine conversation. So keep going, bud.
Yeah, no, it's really been, I've been the last year or so, I've really, really been just thinking about marketing to another degree. It's always on my mind. You know, we market ourselves every day. I mean, we all have our own individual brand. And then I really started thinking about brand in general. And, you know, it's all about the platform that you have. And I think marketing can basically take your platform and turn it into a trampoline. And then it's where do you want to take it and how do you want to take it? And so with the right approach, with some creativity and with the right execution and of course the right team, you can begin to market your brand as a whole. You can begin to market your individual opportunities that come up for lease or sale when they come up. You can market your clients, and it's just all how do you want to do that? And something about I think videos is just I believe so much in videos, and if you get on LinkedIn, the ones that you remember are the videos and the stories. And I love seeing there's a lot of them out there now, but I also get a lot of inspiration from quotes that I hear. That I read, but I just think marketing can give your company a trampoline when you face it, when you look at it the right way, and then it's just a matter of how do you want to execute on it? Because it takes a lot of time and focus.
It does. And I've always been kind of fascinated just by marketing because, like, say that, like, you know, some of the bigger brands out there, like Coca-Cola, for example, you know, I mean, Coca-Cola is so well established as a brand, yet they continue to, I mean, there's no telling what their marketing budget is on a given year,
oh my goodness.
But maybe that's why I guess you reach a point where you never really stop, you know, even if you're the Coca-Cola, you know, does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm going to kind of pivot for a second, but yeah, no, it's great on, you remember that. And it's not always about, it's not just, their brand is not just about drinking a Coca-Cola. I mean, they're planting the seed days and weeks ahead just by watching commercials or seeing signs that when the time comes, you want something to drink, it's no choice but a Coca-Cola.
Right.
And so it's wild how they're planting seeds over generations that, and their brand is amazing. Yeah, you can't talk about brand without the word Coca-Cola, but on a pivot, have either of you watched Air with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck?
I've been dying to watch that movie. I haven't gotten a chance to see it, but I'm liking where you're going with this.
I have not seen it.
All right, we were talking about brand and we're talking about Coca-Cola and what differentiates yourself. So I watched it. Oh my goodness, I watched it this week and I think I finished it around 11:30 or so. I was like fist pumping going to bed. I mean, it was amazing. But it's a story of Nike in there, and I don't want to do any kind of, it's the story of Nike and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to do any kind of
spoiler.
You know, I don't want to do any spoilers, but there's three massive companies going after Michael Jordan, and it's that story.
Yeah.
What differentiates yourself. And it's just, it is so powerful. And it's basically just what you're talking about with Coca-Cola and your brand.
Right.
But something's got to kickstart it, right?
Yep.
And it's marketing that does it.
Yeah, I've heard Nike described as one giant marketing firm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They don't own one factory. It's all outsourced. But yeah, and what better way to build a brand, you know, if you're in the timing, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have you heard the story about where they got the slogan, Just Do It? And it's not in the
movie. No, let's hear it.
Yeah, so Phil Knight, everybody's like, what does Just Do It mean? It's like,
do it.
People that run. I don't run. I can try and run. I thought about running this morning, but I didn't. But
I choose not to run. That's a Jerry Seinfeld quote.
Yeah, so, but basically people that run, there's a struggle. You know, you got to overcome it. It's not going to be easy. It's just like everything that you do. But it's basically, Just Do It is Phil Knight standing under a lamppost early in the morning, and people that are running, you know, they're running before sunrise, they're running early in the morning. And he said it's basically for everybody out there that gets up, that's out there running early in the morning, just do it. And that's,
which can sometimes be the hardest part.
Right.
It's just do it. And that's all that matters. And so it's pretty cool how brands can have different elements of things. You know, they can have basketball shoes. They can have running shoes, which where the phrase comes from. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. You can have clothing and then you pick up golf. I mean, it's just, there's so many different levels, but it all comes down to marketing. It all comes down to being creative. And how can you sell your product through creative ways to capture different audiences? And it's the same with real estate. How can we throw the widest net to the right people to express that we're the best at what we do when it comes down to choosing someone to engage with on an assignment, whether it be for lease or for sale. So when the time comes that they need that help or that a friend of them asks who to call, they call Harbor. That's all we're trying to do. And so trying to get creative to showcase our product in unique ways, trying to get creative to showcase our people. That's what Driven is. And we're trying to, you know, when you get these ideas that are born naturally and you really believe them and put horsepower into them, they evolve. And that's what a brand should do. It should evolve over time. And so, you know, we're going to make mistakes, but let's just, why not put it out there? And I heard a saying, I'm definitely not a pioneer in doing this. It's just, it's what I like doing and I believe in it. But they said the first person to run through a wall always gets bloody.
I like that.
I heard that quote this week.
Something else that you touched on, and I think the it's the reason why I want to watch the movie is something that you were kind of touching on there, is that Nike really was a running company. And then they were into tennis very heavily, if I remember correctly. And before Michael Jordan was, you know, became who he was,
like, the face of Nike.
It was a bit of a risk to like pay this guy so much money. And they were really hitching their entire marketing department on him being the great basketball player that he wound up becoming. And like I said, Nike wasn't even in the basketball space at this point.
Yeah.
So this was such a gamble.
I think Adidas was, he was, I think his mom wanted him to go with Adidas.
I think it was Adidas and Converse.
Yeah. Because his mom's like, who is Nike? You know, why do you want it? Why do you trust this upstart?
Right, right.
Y'all got to watch it. It's amazing.
I'm going to watch, Charlie, I'm going to watch it right now. All right. We're going to wrap up the show.
We're going home. We're all going to watch it.
But you know, it's all about taking risk. And the easiest risk to take are ones that you 100% believe in. So
absolutely. Yeah, your intuition tells you. Because I'm a big, you know, I like to read a lot of, you know, just like nonfiction, a lot of it about business. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of, you know, people that are highly successful in various aspects of business, real estate included, you know, anywhere. But they can have all the data in the world. They can have all this and that. But I think at the end of the day, if you're going to do something bold, it comes down to just, I have an instinct, an intuition that no one's doing this, that this is going to work. You know, yeah, I've read the data, but I have just a feeling at the end of the day, it's really intuition that kind of drives that person to do something, you know, to take that risk that, you know, they're running through the brick wall, you know, and they might get busted up a little bit, but they're pioneers. So.
Yeah, and it, you know, there's plenty of other people doing stuff out there, and there's just great content if you go look for it. But it's a great story, and I'm very excited that y'all actually want to talk about marketing. It doesn't get talked about enough, and with the way technology is, and just the way of the world right now, you got to have your brand out there. It's got to be fun.
Yeah.
It's got to be top of mind. And
how do you Yeah. So advertise, do you do any advertisements in print media or online?
You know, I think we do some, I was actually talking about, I need to do a video. I'm just going to put a video out on LinkedIn. I've been slacking a little bit. Y'all are firing me up. I need to get more out there.
I need that content, Charlie.
But you know, I'm actually just going to put out a video about what I do. Not everybody knows what I do. So I'm going to,
Yeah.
Sit down in my office and just talk about a little bit about Harbor and what I do. Just because sometimes I was in a meeting with a shareholder, a great meeting yesterday, and you know, he was running and ran across his neighbor like walking his dog, and you know, he was like, we always talk, but we never get into what do I really do. So he never really actually knew what I did. And now that I've told him, you know, I've got an assignment sitting here.
Sweet.
And, but, to, you know, we put some content out, but I really focus on trying to put things out on LinkedIn. And
yeah, well, cause I would think, I mean, print media, I don't know if that's like the best bang for your buck. I mean, it might hit an older demographic that still reads that.
We sent some out 30 days ago it's not as much print media on the brand itself, but we will do some of mailers, you know, postcards on some of our projects to a target audience, to the top 30 or top 50 brokers in town that we think will bring us a deal. So we will do, I mean, sometimes you got to go back to the basics, and it's all about the product that you're trying to sell or lease, and you got to know your audience. I think videos are good when it goes to just painting, trying to just throw as big of a paintbrush or as big of a net around the country for your brand. When it comes to more local stuff, you know, print media will do a lot of that. I mean, but I know I'm bouncing all over the place.
Well, that's fine. You mentioned around the country. What's someone you've closed a deal with in the past? What's the furthest away out of town you've worked with?
Oh, wow. You know, we mainly do stuff in the Southeast. I have, man, the farthest is probably like Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Really isn't that far away. We've done deals in, I know I've done deals in Mississippi, of course, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I don't think
the Sun Belt.
Really, Yeah, we're really focused in the Sun Belt. We would go a little farther away for a development, but as far as what we do, we really travel where our clients are. So I've got a
for sure.
I had a local client here in Birmingham that had some. Actually, did a deal with them in Alpharetta and a deal with them in Cocoa Beach, Florida, one in Panama City. And but we will travel, but it's really more with if the client needs us to or wants us to.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to switch to design a little bit. Because I want to just hear from you, because you know you're working, you know, with people looking for space and people who are wanting to list space. So one thing that fascinates me, I just love architecture and design. Speaking of quotes, I read this in the Wall Street Journal. It's real basic. It was talking about residential architecture, but this gentleman said he said good architecture should make you feel good. You know, it's livable art, essentially. That's what I've always kind of described it as. But let's just start out with office. And so, you know, the office design has kind of shifted. You know, it was, you know, the open office for a while. But what's kind of on the cutting edge of office design these days from what you've seen?
Wow. As far as amenities or as far as the actual tenant
layout? It can be amenities. It can be just the layout of the office. You know, what are, you know, the Class A spaces? You know, what are the tenants looking for in a Class A office? It can be amenities, it can be design, but I'm sure they want something specific out of their, you know.
I can't think of Class A without mentioning the Urban Center at Liberty Park. It's a team that I'm on, a great client of ours, and it's 540,000 square feet over four buildings of Class A office space in Birmingham. It's in Vestavia. And so, you know, cutting edge, it's all about flow. We're fortunate at the Urban Center. You couldn't rebuild that or replicate that today. It'd be too expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the replacement cost would be astronomical.
It's spread out over kind of a campus. You know, we've got some streams running through. We've got Wi-Fi at our cafe, which is about to be, you know, renovated and updated. But as far as cutting edge, it's really more about the tenant themselves or the prospect themselves and what they're looking for in their space.
Right.
And these days it's a lot about flow. It's about the flow of the space. We're talking more and more about making the space efficient, you know. But let me what separates an office space is the finish level. And we just did something at the Urban Center that not everybody in the market's doing. We just spent a lot of money on, we want our bathrooms to feel like a country club bathroom. We want them to be nice. And we just redid all of our common areas and all of our restrooms, and they are amazing. And that's something that sometimes you can't really feel that effect or see that effect, you know, much, but it's a good sign of a landlord or an owner when they're spending money on the common areas and the restaurants.
The details.
We
had an event, Burren Foreman, one of our Alabama cabinet members, a great partner of ours, but we had a reception. I don't think you made it there, Charlie, but we had a reception there at Burren Foreman's space, you know, 34th floor of the Ship Tower. Very nice of them to host that for us. But the bathrooms, I really did feel like I was in a country club because they had the mouthwash.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, just top end finishes, super clean, you know, but there it's the little things, you know, and it just, it makes a difference. You know, people, tenants notice that. Clients notice that.
Yeah, it is in the details, but the finish level is what separates an office building.
Right.
You know, you've got your design, you've got the layout, and layouts are getting more efficient, and layouts are getting, there's a little bit more open, but you still have a lot of offices on the perimeter in some cases, but it's all different. It's all based on the culture of a company. But something we also didn't talk about is, but you did mention details, and what separates people apart is service and management. And we got Noel Calamusa is our general manager out of the Urban Center, and our team, we focus on details. We focus on keeping our tenants happy, and we've got a I was looking at a rent roll the other day, making a pitch to a group looking at coming out of state into the urban center and into Birmingham. I pulled out our rent roll and I railed off a couple of tenants that had been there over 20 years. And you don't see that these days. And when someone moves, the landlord spends a significant amount of capital that for them to move in and make that deal work. But to really get a solid return, they got to stay there and they got to want to be there. So details, design does come in. I think that comes into a little bit of like, you know, we reworked our common areas and restrooms, which a lot of that was design and finishes that's focusing on amenities. But at the end of the day, it's details.
Charlie, so you were talking a lot about just what you guys are doing on the office side to kind of beef up what those properties look like. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you're doing in the retail sector? Is there anything there that you guys are trying to look into to try to maybe spruce up some retail spots? Because it seems like y'all are doing great over there as well.
Yeah, we've actually got I'm actually working on a project with Casey Howard now, who runs Casey Howard and Lacey Scott just do an incredible job at our retail platform that continues to gain momentum, and they're the best at what they do and really believe in them. But a project in general, there's one, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called The Edge. It's there. It's off Green Springs. It's literally like, Stuart, you may have to hit like an 8 or 7 iron. I think I could probably hit a sandwich or pitching wedge.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, darts thrown.
It's from G. You could literally walk from Gianmarco's, and it's in between that area of Homewood where Gianmarco's is.
That would, let's be honest, that'd be a 4 iron for me.
Yeah. In West Homewood, you know, Tom Walker and his team got an incredible project going on in the West Homewood right now. But so we've got one called The Edge that, we got approval within the last 30 days from Homewood. We're going to be delivering it in a fall of this year. I mean, we're a couple months out from really delivering the core and shell of the development. And then we'll have a phase two that should be delivered, you know, some May or June next year. But it's a very unique concept that is, Stuart, have you ever the Hub or the Big Chill down at the beach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually, they opened one up here, or they opened one here in Tuscaloosa recently. It's called The Venue, and we had Diamond Rio, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness.
4,000 people. It's about 5 minutes from our house. It was on a Thursday night. And they absolutely killed it.
That's amazing. I heard all about that. Man, that's great. But so we've got this really creative. It's going to be a mixture of, you know, we're going to have a lot of AstroTurf and an amphitheater. We may even have a pickleball court, and there's going to be some cornhole, and it's all going to be gated and fenced. And we've got our first two leases signed with a group called Pop Bar and Baba Java. Pop Bar is focused on desserts, and Baba Java is really coffee, and they're really cool. This is a development that is going to focus on every member of the family have something to choose from.
I love the family development.
Yeah.
We want mom, we want dad, we want the kids to all be able to eat something different. So we're being very selective on, you know, we really want a really top-notch burger. We need food and beverage, right? And
need a salad joint for the moms or the dads.
We're working on getting very creative, and we've got two 500 square foot micro restaurant opportunities. We've got 1,000 square foot smaller restaurant opportunity. And then we've got between 2,500 and 3,000 feet with like a covered patio that's going to be the anchor traditional kind of brick and mortar restaurant. And there's going to be, you know, it's going to be covered. You're going to be able to eat in it all year round. There's going to be common seating. And it's got parking. And you know, you talk about a unique retail development. There's several going on right now in this market. And I talked about Tom Walker and his team. You know, they got Paramount and El Barrio going to West Homewood, and that project's just kicked off. And then you've got the Hardwick, which is in my favorite pocket of real estate on the Rotary Trail. They've got traction. They've got some good retail leases. Tessa and Centennial, I know Meredith and Dee Dee and all these, they've been doing a great job on, they've got some retail leases signed, they've got office leases signed, they got real traction. And so, I mean, there's some cool projects that are happening, and it goes to show if you believe in your real estate, you can pull these things off right now. And but in retail, you got to get creative, and you got to take it to another scale. And that, you know, the edge, I think, is a cool description of trying to get real creative, trying to fill a void that is in the market. And then how do you go do it?
I'm going to come check it out once that's up and running. That sounds really, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Great time.
Yeah, I might. Let's drop one up there right now, James, just to see it.
Seriously. So, well, you know, if it's ready by, you know, by the second week of the football season, it seems like a great spot to watch this Alabama-Texas game if y'all don't got tickets. But, Charlie, I know you're a Bama guy. I got to know, what are your thoughts here?
You know, there's so much. I mean, I feel like my phone is exploding with just who's going to be our quarterback. And you know, I got one of my closest friends is from Georgia. He's a Georgia fan. He's like, he moved here in kindergarten, was in my wedding. I was in his. And
he hits his driver about 40 yards further than yours, 45. I would think.
Miles is the man, and he, you know what? But that's okay.
Well, he hits it 105 yards further than my tee shot. That's why we play the twos.
Yeah, but he sent out a text earlier and said, I've been a part of y'all's group for 30 years, and only the last 2 years, you know, has Georgia really done anything, and I'd never change it. It's awesome, you know. So we got Georgia. We don't have many Auburn friends, but.
Oh, sounds like you got a fire truck going through. This matches up perfectly. Because, James, last podcast we did, Charlie had a fire drill in his building during the show.
No way.
Yeah, we had to take a little break. Your building's not on fire, is it, Charlie?
No. I'm overlooking downtown, and I can hear them, but I can't see them.
It's all good. They're fine.
There's so much buildup going on with football, and I don't know, man. I think Milroe's going to be our quarterback. Saban's never smiled as much. He seems very calm and collected. I never second guess our coach. And I was talking about it on the way in for work this morning. And
so you got Milroe as the quarterback.
I got Milroe as the quarterback, and I'm wanting Alabama, Texas to be a close game, and I want Milroe to have like a final drive to beat him, and I think that would solidify him at quarterback and would be some early adversity that this team needs to overcome.
Yep.
And
I think it's going to be a tight game too.
But it's so special how it's like you can feel the static in the air when Tuscaloosa, it's coming over. It's only, 55 miles away?
Yep.
And it is just amazing how this game can do so much. And talk about brand. Oh, my goodness. Y'all hear about Saban being over? He was over somewhere in Europe, and all the pictures coming in from people finding him, people that don't even really know about Alabama. And he was like, man, our brand travels.
Right. Yeah, you got Europeans talking about college football.
I think he was in Italy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think it was Italy. Amazing. That's awesome. But yeah, no, there's some big games. Auburn's got a new, you know, they got their new head coach. Seems to be a lot of momentum going, and
mm-hmm. I want Auburn to get better. I really do.
Oh, I think they will.
I think they made a good hire.
Yeah, it needs to happen just for the rivalry's sake. It needs to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, in Auburn, they're a top tier team. I mean, nobody. I mean, historically, do you want to go into Jordan Hare and play Auburn?
No,
that's a tough place to play football. I've always, you know, and I don't think they've added onto that state. I remember when they built that upper deck. They finalized it, I think, in like the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And it's about just under 90,000. I think it's like 87,000 or so, but it's one of the louder. And obviously, Alabama, we don't play too well down there. We've had our share of disasters down on the pasture.
Yeah.
Won't go there for emotional reasons. But,
no!
But so here's my official prediction. I got Bama by 4.
Okay.
James, what's your prediction?
I got him by a touchdown. I think that defense. I think Texas's defense is a little suspect at times. So I'm willing to see. I'm waiting to see what they're going to do. But I agree with you, Charlie. I think Milroe's the guy, and I think it's going to be a close game, like you're saying. But I think they win by a touchdown. What's your score prediction if you had to give one?
Wow. If I had to give one,
you do have to give one.
I think 28-24.
Okay.
Bama. I like it too. Bama by 4.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, Charlie,
I got to go back on something real quick. We keep
go for it, Hoss.
I'm not talking. You know, I can't talk bad about Auburn. It's wild. As the older I get, I don't have many Auburn friends, but I've got. We do. You know, they're a great client. Do a lot of work with them and in business. It's crazy how you don't have many friends from somewhere, but you respect what they're doing. And they got so much. They got a lot of good things going down there. But when it comes to Iron Bowl week. I think it could be a beatdown. I think
Bama's down here. Oh, a beatdown in the Iron Bowl. Okay. I think the line just moved.
Yeah, it literally.
Even though there's not a line yet. Vegas but just shook. Yeah, Charlie. Yeah. And so, well, I like that. A beatdown for the Auburn Tigers on behalf of the Tide. So, well, Charlie, I got to just say thank you for joining us, man. This has been a very fun hour. Any final thoughts as we wrap it up here?
Man, no, it's always, it's a special day when we get to collaborate, and I got fired up to do this with you. James, it's great to meet you. I like you. I can tell Stu's already wearing off on you with some of his personality, which is a good thing. You know, they say
you're following the footsteps here, you know?
Yeah, you know, they say that your top five closest friends, or that's your personality, is a mixture of those. And I got a lot of Stew in me.
There we go.
But to wrap this up from my standpoint, I know I was all over the place today, but when y'all said that you wanted to talk about marketing, I got really excited because
I know what makes you tick, Charlie. I was like, I have a feeling Charlie's going to want to talk marketing.
This is the time to market yourself, to market your company, to market your team, to build your personal brand, to build on your brand, whatever you do. This is, I think marketing and brand have never been more important. And I'm very proud of the platform that we have here at Harvard and what we offer. And y'all's brand at Acre. Y'all have been really climbing. Y'all are climbing.
We've built it. Yeah, Grayson. Grayson has really built the brand over the years. And I'm going to give you, since might have to start a new tradition here, but we made some game day stickers. Acre loves the Tide. Very exclusive to get your hands on one of these prized limited edition stickers. I'm going to put a few in the mail for you. But also one thing we can do here at Acre is help your company get a podcast up and running.
That is true.
The easiest part is talking into the microphone. And thank you to Mallory, our podcast tech, who sets up all the technology. Been awesome. But I can see it right now, Charlie, Driven, the podcast.
Oh, my goodness. We'll see. One step at a time.
But
y'all, but, that's awesome, man. You got to tell Grayson I said hello. Y'all keep just climbing to new elevations. Proud of what y'all are doing. I always picture myself as one of those students in Grayson's classes, and so much you taught. And then what y'all are doing out there today. But marketing, what a topic. What a great thing to bring up. And y'all just keep climbing out there.
We will, man. Great to talk as always, Charlie. And thanks to everybody out there for listening.
This has been the Real Estate Matters podcast, produced by the Alabama Center for Real Estate. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Podbean, or just ask Alexa to play the Real Estate Matters podcast.